thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear you.
Thank you.
Prabhuji.
Hari Bol. So today is a special day because today we are celebrating Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master's departure from this world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is the founder acharya of the Gaudiya Math, the spiritual mission that he opened 64 temples in India and initiated 60,000 disciples. And Srila Prabhupada is the most prominent disciple because he fulfilled his guru's desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we're going to speak about him today, a special day. So his father was a great devotee also, pure devotee, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is the pioneer to spread Krishna consciousness outside of India. He's the first one. He wrote books about the teaching and activities of Lord life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he sent to University Macmillan, Toronto, Canada, in English. So that was the first time that Western people came in touch with Krishna consciousness philosophy. So he's the pioneer. And he made a prophecy. He said that in the future, one great personality will preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. He said, when will be that day when all the European and American and will come with their brothers in India, will sing the holy name of Krishna together? That was his desire. So Prabhupada fulfilled that desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed to Lord Krishna that he will send him a ray of Vishnu, a great personality, to help him establish the mission of Lord Krishna. So by his prayer, his son was born, you know. He was born in Jagannath Puri, holy city in India, you know. The Lord Jagannath temple is there. So when he was 3 months old, he gave him the name, birth name, Bimal Prasad. Bimal is the goddess Durga that resides in the Jagannath temple. And why he gave him this particular name is very interesting, because there is one pastime that once Narad Muni, the great sage, went to see Lord Narayan, Lord, in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. And he had the desire to have the remnants, Mahaprasad, from Lord Narayan. But Lord Narayan forbade any of his servants to give Narad that Mahaprasad. He said, you can't give to him. So Narad became very more eager to have it. So he started to help Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, to assist her in serving the Supreme Lord. Whatever she needed, he was always there, ready with all the paraphernalia, with very humble, very nice attitude. He was helping all the time. So she was very pleased with him. So one day she told him, Narad, I'm very pleased with your service. Please, you ask me anything you want. And he said, I want Mahaprasad. So she was in a dilemma, what to do. Lord Narayan said, you can't give now, but I gave my blessing. So she went to consult with Lord Narayan. This happened. And Narayan smiled, oh, this Narad Muni is very clever, very intelligent. So, all right, this time you can give to him. So your blessing will not go in vain. So as soon as Narad took that Mahaprasad, he became so joyful, so ecstatic. He started to chant loudly and dance and roll in the ground, you know. And he left Vaikuntha chanting very loudly. And so he arrived at Kailash, where his brother Lord Shiva lives. Shiva, when he saw Narada in that mood, he inquired from him, "Please tell me why you are so happy, so blissful." "Oh, you don't know, I just had the great opportunity, great blessing of having the Mahaprasad of Lord Narayan." "Oh, that's wonderful, Narada. Did you save anything for me?" "Well, I'm sorry to tell you, I didn't. But I have few scratches here in my fingernails, so if you want some, we can give it to you." "Yes, yes, please give it to me." So whatever he had in his finger left, he gave it to him. And Lord Shiva, after taking that small amount, he also became very blissful, very happy, very ecstatic. And started to roll on the ground and chant the holy name loudly. And so his wife Parvati inquired from him, "Oh, you look so blissful, so happy, please tell me what happened." So when he explained to her, "Oh, please, didn't you leave anything for me?" "Oh, sorry, nothing is left." maybe you wasn't qualified to have it. So she said, "Then I will qualify myself. I will do tapasya, I will do austerities to please the Supreme Lord, so he will give me his Mahaprasad." So she started to do tapasya, you know, and meditation on the Lord, and with so much intensity and devotion that she pleased the Lord and he appeared in front of her. And she prayed that, "Not only for me I want to have this Mahaprasad of yours, but I want all living entity to have also this mercy of having your Mahaprasad." And smilingly the Lord said, "Yes, I will fulfill that desire of you when I will appear in on earth as Daru Brahma, Lord Jagannath. And the first person to receive my Mahaprasad will be you. And then everybody will get, everybody, Chandalas, whoever, any person will get the chance to have my Mahaprasad." So that is the arrangement even nowadays in the Jagannath temple. That first they offer it to the Bimal Diti there in the temple compound, and then they give to everyone. So that name Bimal Prasad means he was going to distribute this Mahaprasad to the whole world. That was the meaning. So when he was 3 months old, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Ratayatra cart of Lord Jagannath stopped in front of his house. His father was magistrate. He was managing the whole Jagannath temple. So the car stopped in front of his house. So the child with his mother will go up and take blessing from Lord Jagannath. And his mother put him under the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord had many garlands around his neck. One of the garlands fell on the next boy. As a blessing, naturally fell like that. So her mother knew of this great blessing from the Lord on this, on my child. So also when he was four or five years old, he went to the kitchen in his harem and took a mango and was eating, you know, small child, you know. But his father told him, "You should have waited until we offer the mango to the Lord, then you can take." So the boy took it very seriously. He made a vow never again to eat mango. He was only 4 or 5 years old. Never in his life. His disciples will bring him mangoes. You know, "I can't take. I'm offended." You know, a teacher, that's Acharya. He teaches from his childhood by example. When he was 7 years old, he knew by heart all Bhagavad Gita or 700 verses by heart, and he could explain them also very nicely. He has a photographic memory. He can read and memorize immediately everything. Very sharp intelligence. And he became a great astrologer and astronomer too. He wrote a book called Surya Siddhanta that even nowadays they study in University of Calcutta, that book. They offered him a seat as a chairman of astronomy and astrology in that university. He declined. He said, I don't want to be much involved, you know. I want to preach mission of Lord Chaitanya, so I want to be free to do that. And he did a lot of tapasya. He lived in Mayapur chanting the holy name, you know, of the Lord every day, 64 rounds every day chanting. And then he started his mission, started to preach Krishna consciousness, open temple in Calcutta, and then all over India he opened temples. And our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he met him in 1921, in the temple in Calcutta. His friend, he insisted on him, please come and meet this saintly person, this sadhu. I want you to know your opinion. He said, no, I've met many sadhus at my father's home. His father, Gaur Mohan, they used to invite every day 4 or 5 sadhu to eat at his home. Was very liberal, very charitable. But sometimes some sadhus, not so good, they would smoke or drink or something, but they still invite everyone, you know. So Prabhupada thought maybe one is sadhu like those. So then I don't want to know. I already know all these people. I don't know. But his friend, no, this is very different. You must come. So they finally went, and they entered the room, and they paid respect, you know, Vaishnava, Sannyasi. And the first thing the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told them, you are very educated and intelligent gentlemen. Why you don't preach the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world? That was the first encounter. And Prabhupada at that time, he was sympathetic to Gandhiji movement, you know, to free India from the British government and all this. So he said, that's very nice, but who will hear us? We are a dependent country. Who will hear from us? We must first become independent from the British, then we can speak Bhagavad Gita and all this. And his Guru Maharaj didn't agree. He said, no, this message is so important, so essential, that can't wait for any political change to happen. People need this. People are suffering because of lack of this knowledge. So we can't wait until some political change happens to do it. It's very urgent. It needs to be done right now. So he was convinced by the word of his guru. And he had asked many other questions too. And he left very, very enlightened. He told his friend, the day I met very nice sadhu, I accepted him in my heart as my guru. From that same day, the first time they met. So after that, he moved with his family to Allahabad, Prayag. He opened a pharmacy there, Prabhupada. And when the Gaudiya Math devotees went there to open temple, he helped them to meet many people, friends, and collect donation to open temple there. So he helped them to establish a temple there. And every time he was traveling, he will try to visit his Guru Maharaj and hear his lectures, you know. Once he went, he heard that his guru was in Vrindavan pilgrimage, so he went there, and he was sitting, hearing all the lectures. Some devotee was, because lectures sometimes 2-3 hours, guru speak very profound philosophy. So they will excuse themselves, they have something to do, but he will sit down and not move until the end. So when his guru went to Allahabad to install the deities and the temple, the temple president was going to introduce Prabhupada for initiation, as a candidate. And without that introduction, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Yes, I have noted him. He likes to hear very nicely. I will make him my disciple." So without any recommendation, he immediately accepted him. And after that, Prabhupada also helped to open a temple in Bombay, you know. He helped his god brothers collecting all the funds and meeting important people and getting the land and everything. He did everything. So when his guru came to establish the temple, not the deities, installing the deities, one of his disciples, Bhaktisaranga Goswami, asked him, "Guru Maharaj, why Abhan Charan Prabhu stay outside? He, thanks to him, this temple was opened. He collect all the fund, he made all the arrangement. He should be the temple president." And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "No, it's better for the time being that he stay, he lives by himself, away from you. Because in due time, he will do everything by himself." That was like a prophecy. When Prabhupada heard that, he kept that in his heart, you know. He was very happy that his guru said such a thing. He always meditated. And before the departure of his guru, Prabhupada wrote a letter to him, you know. "That, my dear Guru Maharaj, you have many brahmachari, sannyasi serving you directly, but I am grihastha, I have family. But please, I can't serve you like that. But please tell me, how can I serve you? Please give me some instruction." So he received a letter fortnight before his guru departure. The letter said, "My dear Abhay Charan Prabhu, please accept my blessing. I received your letter. And please, if you want to please me, please preach this Krishna consciousness in the Western world. That will be good for them and will be good for you too. So whatever resources you have, if you ever get money, print books and preach this message." So he kept that in his heart, and soon he started to publish a magazine called Back to God in English. And he will send subscription abroad until the moment came he could come to the West to fulfill his guru's desire. So today is disappearance day, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we are very much indebted to him, because due to his mercy, Prabhupada came to the West to establish this wonderful movement, Krishna consciousness. He was Naishtika Brahmachari, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, never got married. He established in Calcutta with some friends a club that all the students made a vow that they will remain Brahmacharis, they will never get married. But he was the only one who could fulfill that. None of them could do that. You have any question? Any comment? So please tell me which verse of Bhagavad Gita you like most.
I'm relatively new, Prabhu.
Okay.
To Bhagavad Gita, my wife reads more.
Okay, she can say.
Her.
Oh, very good. Very good. Is there any verse in particular you like?
Patram Prajapati
that's very nice. Patram pushpam palaptoya yomi bhaktya prayaschati. Very nice verse. He's not saying, offer me with love, devotion, a leaf, a flower, a glass of water. I will accept. So that is love, to offer the Lord what He wants to be offered. That is love. And that's why we don't offer Krishna, you know, meat or egg or fish, because the Lord is not asking for those things. He asks, Krishna is vegetarian. He likes the animal. He doesn't like to eat the animals. Once a reporter asked or Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, are you vegetarian? Prabhupada said, no, we are Krishnatarian. Whatever Krishna eat, we eat. So it's not enough just to be vegetarian. The food has to be offered to the Lord. Then it is spiritual, prasad, food, mercy of the Lord. One lady wrote me a letter. I met her in Mexico. I was recently in Mexico. We had a Rata Yatra there, big festival. 3 days, three big cars. You know. For 30 years going on non-stop. You know, thousands of people take part in the festivities. Very nice. So they invited us for some college program, some Christian interreligious. So we have chance to speak about Krishna consciousness. And one lady, she is professor there, she wrote me asking if we also celebrate the Christmas. So I answered her today, yes, of course we celebrate Christmas. We also speak about Lord Jesus Christ and chant the holy name of God. But we take a vegetarian feast. We think that when Jesus Christ was born, he was surrounded by animals. You know, that was winter time, so it was cold. So animals were heating him up with their bread. So we feel that we should not eat those animals. Out of kindness and compassion, we should spare their life, you know. Be kind. So that simple thing is so important to understand, that animals also have souls and they have the right to live also. Bible says you should not kill. So she appreciated that. And at that school, there were 700 students attending the program. And we explained that if you want to have peace in this world, you have to let first the animal live in peace too, because violence brings more violence. When you kill poor animals, you know, this violence will bring more violence to human beings. That's the law of karma, action-reaction. So in order to have peace, you have to have inside of peace in yourself. How can you be peaceful if you are violent against the poor animal? How you can have peace of mind? Even if you want, you can't have it. So it's a scientific, philosophical process. It's not sentimental. So Lord Krishna very clearly explains, I want this type of food offered to me. So you offer a simple thing. What is the difficulty? But Krishna say bhaktya, with love. Yome bhaktya prayaschati. If you offer with love, I accept. Krishna is not hungry. He have all best food. But he's hungry for our love, our devotion. So if there is devotion, he accepts. When Krishna went to speak with the Kurus for peace, you know, on behalf of the Pandavas, Duryodhana invited him to his palace. You know, I have the best food, please come to my palace. Krishna said, no. I don't like to visit people who are lusty, greedy, and envious like you. I prefer to stay with Vidura, a simple house with my devotee, you know. So stay at Vidura's home. And Vidura's wife was cooking for Lord Krishna. And Vidura, I mean, Vidura, out of parental love, he was feeding Lord Krishna with his own hand, you know. So Krishna accepted this loving dealings with his devotee. And a simple prasad, you know. But the end, the sweet was just a simple banana. But Vidura was so much entranced in love with the Lord that when he peeled the banana, instead of giving the banana, he was giving the peel to Krishna. But because it was offered with so much love, Krishna ate the banana peel. See? So what makes him hungry is the love, the devotion. That's the main thing of Krishna consciousness, to develop this loving attitude to please the Lord. And the Lord is easily pleased, just we offer a fruit, or flower, or vegetables, or milk, like that. No? He accepts. That's very, very important verse, very nice. Any of you was on Gita Jayanti on the temple? Huh? Some of you were there, no? Okay, very good. And there are four most important verses in Bhagavad Gita, you know that. They are called Chatu Shloki. Chatu means four, Shloki, verses. And you know which one are?
No.
Okay, I will tell you. So you read them, study them. How many beads we have in our japa? 108, isn't it? So chapter 10, text 8, 108, 10, 8, that is the first one, 8 to 11, 10, remember 108, chapter 10, text 11 to chapter 8, I mean chapter 10, text 8 to 11, chapter 10, verse 8 to 11, that's the four main verses, most important verses. Bhagavad Gita, the essence, because in those verses Krishna explains his supremacy as the Supreme Lord very openly. Please feel free if you have any doubt, any question. Don't be shy. So the first verse said, Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate iti mattva bhajante mam buddha bhava samambita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. This is somebody who is wise, who knows that Krishna is the origin of all the material and spiritual worlds. Everything is coming from him. That wise person worship the Lord and engage in devotional service with all their hearts. All right then, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Guru Premanandi Hare Krishna. Very good. Yes.
Can you also elaborated on the Gita Jayanti? Can you elaborate that verse 922?
922. Was you there when I spoke about it?
For the benefit of others.
Oh, yes. You know that verse, 922, is very important verse also in this Bhagavad Gita, because it has a very interesting story. This particular verse. The verse says, "Ananya chintayanto mam ye jana pariupasate tesham nitya vyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham." But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, I preserve what they have. So there was one great devotee named Gita Panda. That was his nickname. Because he was always studying Bhagavad Gita, teaching Bhagavad Gita, writing about Bhagavad Gita. So everybody will call him Gita Panda. But he was married, he has wife, but very poor. So one day he will every day go to the temple, teach Bhagavad Gita to whoever he wants to listen. So one day he was reading this verse, and when he read the last line, "Yoga kshemam bahamyaham," that I personally carry what they need, his mind became doubtful. He thought, but I never hear that the Lord Himself carrying for his devotees something they need. I myself am much need, but am I engaging exclusively in serving the Lord and teaching Bhagavad Gita? But the Lord is not coming to bring me. Maybe somebody else put that last line there, you know. So he thought like that, and he took a red ink, you know, and touched that, you know, that last line. So he told his wife, "My dear wife, I have to go to teach Bhagavad Gita, but I don't have anything to cover my chest. Can you please give me a piece of your sari so I can go out, you know, cover my chest?" So she had to tear down a little piece of her sari to him to cover. They were so poor, you know. So he went, and whatever he will collect, he will bring home, and they will cook whatever rice, dal, they will collect some vegetables, and that's it, they make a khichdi, that's it for the day, you know. So while he was away, somebody knocked on his door, and the lady opened to see who. She saw a young boy carrying two baskets on his shoulder, you know. He has a stick on his shoulder, and in each side big basket full of fruits and vegetables and grains and so many things. Very heavy, big load. And she asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "Oh, your husband sent me with all this. Somebody gave him this gift." So, yes, I'm his disciple. I never knew that he had disciples. Yes, I'm his first disciple. And he pushed me in my bag to hurry to come very fast here. See, my back is some scratches in my back, you know, even some blood came out. And how he can be so cruel, I never heard it. I never knew that he was like that. So please come. But I have nothing to cover my head with, she said. I need to, please take my chadar. And she covered her head and let him inside, and he put everything there. And she thanked him very nicely, offered him a glass of water, and he left. In the evening, his husband came back. He didn't collect anything, you know. So he came to the house and told his wife, "My dear, I'm sorry, I didn't collect." "Why? Not necessary. See, your disciple brought all this." "My disciple? I don't have any disciple." Nobody gave me anything. No, here, see, you brought, and you pushed that poor boy. He was even bleeding in his back. How you can be so cruel? What are you talking about? I didn't do that to anybody. But see, here is all the food you brought. When he saw this, my goodness, who brought all this? Who could be? And he's the chadar, he lent me his chadar to put on my head. So he hurried to his room and looked at the verse. And the last line was touched with red ink. The red ink disappeared. And the line was as it was, you know. So he started to cry and he went to embrace his wife. Oh, he's so fortunate. The Lord himself came personally to bring all this food, you know, to prove that his words are true and not false. No? So Krishna's word always true. Whatever he promised Krishna, that also he always fulfilled. Of course, the devotees needs are being taken care of by the Lord, material and spiritual also. And devotees, they want mainly spiritual things from Krishna, devotion, love, knowledge about Krishna. That is good. And if one look for the spiritual, the material also comes automatically, because this material depends on the spiritual. By reading and chanting and remembering about those things. How can we keep our consciousness fixed on transcendental knowledge, on Krishna consciousness? By increasing our desire to know, to learn, to understand. Then by learning, by understanding, one can apply in his life. See? And it is possible to do it if one is willing enough to, if one has the desire, Krishna will help. It is possible. Krishna didn't advise Arjuna, you give up all your duties and just, no. He said, you do it, but do it for me. You know, you are a Kshatriya, you should do your duty, you should fight for religious, to protect religious principles, but you do it for me. Don't forget, I am the proprietor and the enjoyer, the best friend of everyone. So whatever you do, you can do it for Krishna, in the sense that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all activities. And he is the supreme proprietor. So everything we have belongs to Krishna. He's just lending us, you know, this nice house, this nice temple, or this whatever nice we have it belongs to him. Like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to pray to the Lord, my dear Lord, if I have to work to maintain this family, it is because it is your family. This is your wife, these are your children. I'm here only your servant. If one that can think like that and can, then whatever he's doing, he's happy, he's blissful. He will see Krishna everywhere. Of course, that takes a little exercise and practice, no? It sounds very nice, but to apply it, sometimes, you know, we may forget. So that's why we need to remind ourselves about those teachings and have like satsang we do regularly and read Bhagavad Gita and so we can keep ourselves in tune. Spiritual energy is very powerful, more powerful than the material energy. So if one is in touch with the spiritual energy, it can change the material energy. It's like iron. You put iron in the fire, and fire can change the iron into fire. That has that potency. So the same way, if we are in touch with Krishna consciousness, with spiritual life, that some change will happen inside of us. You know? Change of consciousness. That is very much needed, because when we do that, we can always remember Krishna. By remembering that everything is Krishna's energy. So in whatever we think, in the car or the job or the family or this, that, is everything that is also Krishna's energy. So everything is coming from Him. So in this way we can dovetail our energy or thinking toward the Lord. Yes.
So does at any stage of one's life, especially Uttam Adhikari, pure devotee, does Maya stop acting upon Uttam Adhikari, pure devotee, or still acts on a pure devotee too?
A pure devotee is not under the influence of Maya, in the sense that Maya helped the pure devotee to see the reality of this world. You know, it's like small children who, if they see a frightening movie, they get scared. They can at night they see, you know, monsters underneath the bed and in the closets. But for example, if the parents take them to Universal Studio and they film all this movie and they see all the makeup and all the costumes, and so they lose their fear. Oh, this is all just, you know, not real, you know. So the same way, when a devotee become advanced in a spiritual life, Maya reveal her real face. So, see, I'm tricking people this way and that way. But be careful, you know.
She becomes friend.
Become friend, yes. Actually, Maya, she is pure devotee also. But she wants to be sure that people who approach Krishna are sincere. So she put some test, some difficulty to see how they react. If they see some difficulty, give up, they are not so serious about it. If somebody go on, no matter what, then she help. That person is sincere. See?
Prabhuji, I have
yes.
a question.
Yes.
Since you are from Mexico, South America.
South America, yes.
I need to ask you one question about Mayan civilization.
Yes.
I've heard Mayasur, when he came out of the country, he came all the way here and he started the civilization.
Yes, I heard also that too. That's a demon called Maya Danava. No? When Prabhupada visited Venezuela, 1975, one morning walk at the park, lawyer asked him about similarity between Vedic culture and the pre-Hispanic culture, you know, the Mayas and all this. And Prabhupada told him, yes, many thousand years ago, all the earth planet, all people followed Vedic life, Vedic wisdom. But in due course of time, they stopped doing it. And Prabhupada told us that Lord Ramchandra went to Brazil. You hear that? Through a tunnel. That's in the Ramayana. The story is there in Ramayana, that when the night before the fight with Ravan in Sri Lanka, while sleeping, Lord Ram was kidnapped by one brother of Ravan, Mahiravan, and he took him through a tunnel. The Ramayana said the other side of the world. But actually Prabhupada made a straight line from Sri Lanka and ended up in Brazil. So Prabhupada said that place must be Brazil. And Prabhupada said that all the gold was coming from the mines in Brazil to Sri Lanka. That's why so much gold was there, you know, all the city, all the houses. And Prabhupada asked if there was still gold in Brazil. He said, plenty gold. Even nowadays people go get gold easily in the river, you know. And anyway, we were making some investigation. We found out some interesting thing. We have a ISKCON farm in the Amazon in Brazil. And nearby that farm, there is an ancient town called Hanuman. Hanuman, the name of the town.
Is Hanuman?
Hanuman with H and everything, the name. And it's pre-Hispanic town. Before anybody went there, that name was is there.
Because Hanuman rescued Rama.
Yeah,
Rama.
Right. Yeah. And Prabhupada explained to us that they took Lord Ram to Brazil with the idea to sacrifice him in front of Goddess Kali. So the demons asked Lord Ram to bow down in front of Goddess Kali, and he said, "Oh, I'm a prince. I don't know how to do this. You show me how to bow down." So they all bowed down. He took a sword, chopped their heads. Prabhupada said that happened in Brazil. So, and do you know what is the name of Brazil before? Because the original inhabitants, they call that country Pindorama.
Pindorama?
Yes. So the name Rama is there. See? The name Hanuman is also there. So?
Texas name was Tejos, right?
Hmm?
Texas name was Tejos, right?
Oh, sometimes they say like that. The devotee tried to find similarities. You know?
I went to the museum in Austin.
Yes.
They wrote in the museum.
Tejas. Because in Mexico, was part of Mexico, you know, all this place. Yes. And the American, they bought it from the Mexican. But they will say Tejas. But of course we say Tejas. The Sanskrit word is Tejas, is there. Power means power, Shakti. Huh? Some devotees say also Australia means Astra. Astra means weapon. So the Chatriya were going there practice. And one devotee went to Venezuela. He said, Venezuela means Venu Juala, Krishna's flute. So the devotee thought was fine. You know, Argentina, Arjuna. So the devotee always tried to find, you know, the similarities, things like that. But I visited a cave in Mexico, the very old cave, 2,000 years, they found a sculpture inside the cave on the stone, you know, a snake around the mountain and two groups of people pulling, you know. And that is in the Bhagavatam, that's the story of the bird churning the milk ocean. It is there, 2,000 years old in the cave, you know, sculptured in the cave in Mexico. So many things, you know, were there, we don't know. So that's meaning what Prabhupada said, that previously all this earth planet was following Vedas, but gradually they gave up. So when they hear about Vedas, again they accept, because that's natural for them. They just forgot. Yes.
What brought you to Venezuela?
I wasn't born there. I was brought there when I was 2 years old. Actually, I was born in the Middle East. And my parents immigrated to Venezuela when I was 2 years old. My parents are Christians. And before I was born, my brothers, I had three brothers, you know, twins and one more. They, because of sickness, they died shortly after. So my parents they went to visit some Christian pilgrimage place and they pray that if the son's life is saved, they will dress him as a monk for 3 years. So I was dressed as a monk for 3 years. And when I was going with the boat from Lebanon to Venezuela, we stopped in Spain, Barcelona, to change boat. So we were walking around. My mother and sister, they told me, and also saw a picture. We took a picture underneath the statue of Columbus. So I was dressed like a monk like that. And many, like 30 years, 40 years later, I was chanting Hare Krishna, walking around Barcelona for first time, and I went to that same monument, and I remember that photo. I was here when I was 2 years old, also dressed as a monk. Now I was Hare Krishna monk. So, so anyway, was nice. Mm. I do speak Arabic too, besides Spanish. And yes. So I went some years ago to Dubai, Qatar. The devotees there, they're large Hindu community. They invited me, so I went there. They present me some local Muslim people to speak to them. About Krishna consciousness. That's prohibited in the country. They took the risk. So I spoke to them. They were open-minded people. They wanted to learn about. But in Dubai, there are more freedom, you know. They have a Krishna temple next to the mosque. They have more like religious freedom there. But it's not allowed to preach to the Muslim, some other religion. You can't do that. Actually, I was searching for the truth. I wasn't satisfied with the material life. I thought must be something more than just, you know, getting money and have comfortable life. Must be something more than that. So I was searching here and there. And by myself, I decided to become vegetarian, practice yoga, you know. But still I knew something more, well, more than that must be there. So one day I was with a friend in a vegetarian restaurant in Bogota, Colombia. And both we were vegetarian, practice yoga, so we were eating some food there. And suddenly I have some thought, spiritual thought, and I was crying a little bit. So my friend said, "Why are you crying?" I said, "I just have this thought." He said, "Please share it with me." I said, "Okay." I told him, "You see through this window, this gray building? This is made by man. It's not so beautiful, it's, you know, gray old big building. You know. And you see this nice red roses on the table, you know, very fragrant, very beautiful. These are made by God. So imagine how beautiful must be God if he created such a beautiful thing. He must be very beautiful. I would like to know him one day. And the day I know him, I will surrender myself to him." He said, "Oh, that's very nice, but take it easy, you know." And 2 weeks later, I met the devotees, you know, in Caracas, on the street. And one devotee gave me an invitation to the temple. He said, "It's a free vegetarian feast." "Oh, I'm vegetarian." "Oh, then you must come, please." So I went there and immediately fell in love with chanting and the prasad, you know. And immediately, this is what I was looking for.
And how old were you probably at that time?
22. I immediately joined the move of the temple, a few weeks. I told my parents, "I'm going to move to the Hare Krishna temple." My father said, no, please don't do that. "I buy you a new car, whatever you want." I say, "No, this is much better than a new car." So I went to the temple and I didn't give them address or anything. You know, I was so, you know, I forgot to give them. So anyway, after like 2 weeks they came. Three cars, all the family came to visit, you know, nephews and brother-in-law, all of them came. So I gave them Mahaprasad, they were said talking, you know, they're smiling, oh, they're very good. So I asked them, how did you found the temple address? They were smiling, looking at each other. Somebody, who gave you the address? I said, well, to tell you the truth, we went to some spiritist. And he sent the spirit and he found the address. Well, that's far out. Some ghost, something, they sent and found the address. But are you happy? I see you're happy. You're happy that I'm here? No, no, we're happy because the ghost said that after 6 months you will leave the temple. So that's why we're happy. I told them, let's see who is stronger, Krishna or the ghost. So anyway, after so many years passed, you know, they saw that, took it very seriously. They also start to become interested and read the books and like that. They start to appreciate more.
So, did you ever get married and have children?
Yes, yes. Actually, my children are married. 26, 24 years old, married. So I'm vanaprastha now, retired, just traveling, preaching, free, by Krishna's mercy. I wrote a book about Prabhupada's visit to Venezuela in Spanish, but I hope next year I can put it in English too, so everybody can hear about Prabhupada teaching pastimes there in South America. All right then, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. For enlightening us with your wisdom and knowledge.
Thank you. Hare Bol.